This is the 1UP Radio Network, and now GFW Radio.
Hello, and welcome to GFW Radio. That's right, the old intro's back, and it's staying, goddammit. No more singing.
It's going to be a good one. We are all high on PCP.
We are. There's been about, like, 8 cans of Coke drunk between us. I just saw a frickin' car bike accident outside. I'm all hyped up on real violence. I don't need your video game violence.
There was no GTA.
It was no GTA. I didn't see the guy's health meter go down or anything. I'm making jokes. The guy's like lying in the street, literally bleeding.
He didn't bleed green like in all the games I play.
It was kind of creepy. Guy got hit by a car.
That was fun. Well, way to bring it down already.
I mean, was he like?
Yeah, I'm bringing it down.
Was he like walking upright afterwards, or?
I was thinking they probably didn't have a physics card for this thing. The way the guy fell.
Did he turn into a perpetual motion machine? His bike was like spinning around.
Yeah,
like, dude, 360s nonstop.
Yeah, he got caught in the clipping. He was just like hanging in the air, spinning around upside down.
Thank you for making a clip
on it.
That's what I went up and said to him. Your ragdoll physics are all wrong.
I'm so easily amused. I still, whenever that happens in a game. I always got to draw everyone. Look, it's a perpetual motion machine. Everyone gathers around it. See the body that's like twitching around nonstop.
As long as we didn't go into any collision error jokes.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so we're here. We're ready to talk amongst ourselves. And all the GFW crew is here this week again. Yay. And that is amongst the following people.
Ryan Scott.
Darren Gladstone.
You gotta keep them separated. Me and my brother love that song because it reminds us of when Grandma lets us come out and play.
So that was Sean.
Elliot. And Sean Malloy.
I thought you were gonna just go through the whole podcast as Ralphie or something.
Yeah, I didn't know what was gonna happen.
I just realized that and that horrible song like was more or less a tarred squeal with like reverb on it.
Oh.
So I wanted to expose that.
That could have kept going. I was waiting.
I got it out. The tough kids go out and play to it.
Okay, so we got a lot going on this week. We do.
Apparently.
I say that every week. This week, I mean it.
So usually it's hyperbole. Like
so we're gonna dive right in with some whatcha playing. And then we're going to talk about, I think we're going to finally talk about this month's cover story, which is Company of Heroes, Opposing Forces, now that it's been... Opposing Front, sorry.
No doubt.
Now that it's been all over the web. And then speaking of the web, we're going to have some heroes of the web. It's
Yay,
back.
We have a couple true heroes.
And then we're going to feature some news items, including a real-life hero of the web, John Romero. He's going to get his own. We're going to talk about
That's
him.
That's a hell of an intro.
We're going to talk about him and what he's up to. We love John.
Yeah. Obviously, it's going to be very flattering what we're going to say.
It is. We love John. Okay, so Darren, I know you've been all hyped up about something you've been playing this weekend, and you've been chomping at the bit to talk about it all day.
Yes. Okay, so I don't make any bones about being a Guitar Hero fan, because it actually lets me pretend I can play guitar for 5 minutes. So the 360 version comes out this past week, and I picked it up, and I just was figuring, hey, you know, there's a USB port in the thing, so I plugged it in the PC just to see what the deal was, and it totally recognizes it. I mean, the guitar, just right out of the box, just totally works. So there's a free game out there called Frets on Fire, which is basically a Guitar Hero knockoff sort of deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's totally open source. And a lot of people online are providing their own tunes.
So, and you can map the 360 guitar to Frets on Fire?
Absolutely. So you could play a Guitar Hero game on your PC where the game is free. And on top of that, there's an unlimited number of songs out there being generated for it.
Real songs?
Real songs, original songs, stuff that's just being made by, like, you know, copying game songs that are out there. So it's actually kind of interesting, worth checking out.
So do you have to do any configuration to make it work?
Or you know, just I plugged it in, and it recognizes all the buttons and everything. All I had to do was turn on the game and just configure, like, you know, fret one is this button, fret two is this button, and that was it.
Was this an XP or Vista?
I did it in XP. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to test it out fully in Vista yet because I was kind of in a rush. But
I think calling him Frets is a little giving it too much credit.
Yeah, okay.
It actually being a guitar.
Okay, the colored buttons.
There you go. Red.
Okay. Not,
yeah. No, but school buttons on fire.
In the game, they call him Frets. Yeah. It's kind of hard, but you know what? Hell, before they had this, I mean, granted, it's still a plastic toy guitar you're plugging in. And it's kind of hard to have a modicum of cool.
Yeah.
But it's infinitely better than...
It's a fucked up world because they just announced that the Rockstar one, is that what
right,
they call it?
Right, yeah, Rockstar.
And it's basically...
Oh, Rock Band, right.
Rock Band, and you got like a drummer and a singer and a bass player and guitarist, and you're all supposed to play online. But it was like, remember when we were kids, just that guitar you get
at
Toys R Us and you press the fucking whammy bar?
Yeah, totally.
And it's like...
Yeah. Right.
Or like hit sticks. Like no matter... You see that
don't
in the
mess
commercial.
With the hit sticks. I love those things.
You see that in the commercial, like... This is the shit right here. I can go around, you know, beat this on like my sister's head on my table at school, and everything I hit is gonna have some different sound. And then you buy it, and you realize like no matter what you hit it or how hard you hit it, it goes like this, this, this. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so no matter like
it's kind of like the 3D glasses that they used to advertise in the back of comic books.
It is
not
like
3D
that.
Glasses, like the X-ray.
The X-ray specs.
So you could see people the without like, their clothes on.
That stuff is
that
all.
That totally didn't work.
But all these things were so decidedly uncool.
He's like.
They didn't work. No, but the hit sticks and the jam-on guitars were like so decidedly uncool.
Yeah.
But now we've got this version where people are like, you know what? We're gonna get a band together.
We're gonna get the band together.
Right. That's what's been meaning to do.
Our dreams
this.
Are gonna come true.
Right.
Talk about Waja. Imagine like one of us singing. I got dibs on the singer on the microphone.
Yeah, I think that's the one that. No
wasn't
one's
that like
want.
Any karaoke game at this point?
Though. That's pretty.
Well, yeah.
Popular.
I mean, I try to avoid that, but.
Me too.
Yeah, but you played the hell out of Guitar Hero, though, didn't you?
That's fun, but like, I mean, when you start bringing in like
air drums, air guitar,
animal, you know, like
yeah, that's gonna look pretty dumb sitting by your 360 there,
and the sound that. Coming out of there. Like, I don't know. Do you like just?
I know.
You
I know.
I really
I'll
like.
I'll give it a fair try.
I really like Guitar Hero 1. That. Guitar Hero 2. I got a new guitar for Guitar Hero 2, but I could never play it because it got ruined for me the night. That I brought the new guitar home. I had to stop first at my kid's school for a parents meeting. And I was holding the thing. And I ran into this other dad and this who's not a gamer or whatever. And he's like, is that like a Fisher-Price toy? And he wasn't kidding.
Well, totally
and I was like,
like,
no. This is like, I was like, no, this is like this really cool game.
Yeah.
And he's like, so what? You press like the colored buttons to make notes? I was like, okay, quit reducing it in that way. It's more than that.
Teaches you to count as every time you hit one of the quote unquote frets. It's like A, B,
yeah. I couldn't play
G.
it. I brought it home and I was like, oh, fuck,
no,
he's right.
Yeah.
Well, it is a Fisher-Price toy.
But it is so
you
much
have
fun.
An actual guitar, right?
Well, I have a bass. I know how to play the bass.
But that's like, to get, if you start playing on the, like the really hard difficulty levels in that game.
You might as well be a guitarist.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not going to make you a guitarist.
No.
You might as well,
oh, no.
If you invested the same amount of time and energy into learning a real guitar,
yeah,
you'd
exactly.
probably be able to play like Stairway to Heaven intro like the rest of your eighth grade class, you know?
No, that's exactly it. Like, when the first one came out, and I forget who it was
the
in the office.
Tabulature, that is.
I forget. There was one guy in the office who was playing the game when the first Guitar Hero came out. He was playing on an expert level, like flawlessly.
Joe Rebicki?
Maybe it was Joe. It must have been.
But Joe's a guitar player.
Right.
So
I don't know. They're barely transferable. Like,
it is. It's totally not transferable.
Yeah, it's not transferable.
It was like he, the way he said. The way he told me it was like relearning how to play guitar.
Yeah, like because
yeah, or
I
actually,
unlearning
how to play guitar.
Haven't there been like YouTube videos of like little kids playing this like with the sound not even on? You know, it's just like pattern recognition.
It is.
Yeah, right. That's all it is.
In the same way,
Simon.
Like the Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it's totally Simon.
For Nintendo.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that was especially bad, though, because unlike Guitar Hero, half the songs in there don't even match up to the beats. And then they would choose, like, you're like, okay, if, like, let's do a game about drums. But then they pick, like, Mary Had a Little Lamb and stuff. It's like, the drums are ill in that joint.
it's like some random scrap, like, it's like Huey Lewis in the News or whatever. I'm like, wow,
yeah.
that's great.
Yeah, stuff with, like, sissy drums in the background.
do you expect to hear, like, Bonham on, like...
All those slow jams come with pre-programmed drums. What's up with that?
Okay,
anyway.
So, but, all right, we veered way off already.
But, yeah.
You can do that on PC.
But,
yes,
right,
the whole point was you could do it for free on a PC.
That's cool, except for the cost of the guitar.
But
you're still
going to
buy the guitar.
You're still going to buy the guitar, but if you already got it, you know.
If you already have it for your Xbox.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood, be proud.
You could maybe, like, I mean, like, say if you've got your own GarageBand or something and you want to turn your your horrible songs into like horrible games for people. You could probably upload those.
What a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, you could probably upload those. Turn your horrible songs into horrible games.
Yeah. Saw awesome. Today.
So I've been playing a couple things.
What are they, John?
One is Infernal. And I said a week or two ago here that if the game got better, I would come on here and eat my words. That did not happen. No, I'm kidding. It did. That did happen. It got better. So really? I want to say that. It
you
did.
Need to eat the YTMNDs that have been made about your about, your last
well, listen,
full
I don't,
endorsement.
I don't take back the stupidness of the plot. The plot is still completely... In fact, it actually gets dumber as it goes on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're a fallen angel. I'm going to spoil it. So if you really care about the plot for Infernal, maybe hit pause or fast forward on your podcast playback. But so you're a fallen angel. You're like working for Satan now or whoever. They don't actually call him Satan. Mm. And you're fighting heaven. But then it turns out that like the forces of heaven are like bad. So actually you're a good guy after all. That's like
what a twist.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is like might be mildly offensive to some folks, I would think.
That's pure blasphemy.
That's pure
right?
metal right there.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like from what I played early on, though, I mean, like that game probably has the gravitas of like Dollman versus the demonic toys. So I'm really not
dude. It's at least Iron Maiden's Eddie on the back of a denim vest.
And in fact, that's kind of the soundtrack they've got going. Every time there's any type of shooting, you know you're going to start shooting because they crank up the like 70s arena metal, you know.
The trooper!
Which is a little bit much. Okay, all I'm doing is dissing it again. And the gameplay's rote and the AI sucks.
there's
quite a bunch of sequences later in the later part of the game that I found very entertaining. So I was enjoying it myself in spite of myself. Cool. And I was actually wondering out loud to you guys earlier if it was, in fact, Stockholm Syndrome, which we've talked about here before. But sometimes when you're just forced to play a game, you start liking it just because you're kind of trapped. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm wasting my entire weekend on this, it must be good. But I was getting less frustrated and I was getting more entertained. It's basically an amalgam of like every single thing every other shooter has kind of done before. It's more in the Half-Life 2 or Half-Life series school of puzzles and shooting rather than just straight up shooter.
Yeah.
So you keep getting to places in the levels that are like, well, how do I get past this place? And you'll be stumped for a while. And a bunch of the times, the answer is utterly annoying and stupid. A few of the times, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I was guessing like use your temporary teleport to get through a barrier, flip a switch that lowers the barrier, go back to your original position.
Yep.
Walk through it.
It's that stuff. Your
that stuff can be fun. That stuff.
No, it is fun. It's fun. It's satisfying to figure it out.
I mean, if I described Half-Life, I'm like, yeah, find out that there's some obstacle, whip out your gravity gun. Blast
right. Well, you're right. It's like we were saying before. It's your tone of voice can change it.
Zelda's
and so solving some of those puzzles is fun.
Well, as long as there isn't like a bunch of annoying cutscenes that kind of spoil it for you, like
there aren't. In fact, thank God, because the one that there is awful.
Cutscenes advance the story.
Yeah.
Isn't that
yeah.
Are you still later on in the game like? Bulletproof.
Yeah, but you know they do. Along with having every other cliche of shooters in there, they do the one where they take away all your shit.
Yeah.
Like 2/3 of the way through. I've never seen that one before. So all of a sudden, you're back to having nothing and no demonic powers.
You touch the red crystal and you're human.
Do you have your shoulder dislocated and have to put it back in like last week's loss?
No.
All right.
That hurt.
Just grunt it out. It'll be fine.
It just looks so painful when they do that. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen anything that moved me that much since Rambo pulled out the bullets that from his own leg.
Oh, when Mel Gibson did it.
Heated up his Rambo knife. Rambo heated up his Rambo knife to cauterize his own wound.
So anyway, I haven't written the review yet, but it would have gotten a bad review, and I'm actually going to. I'm going to up it into the better range. We'll see how far. But I don't know how many other good single-player first-person shooters there are these days. You know, if you just have some time to kill and like to play that kind of thing, maybe not a bad choice. No multiplayer in this game, by the way. It's all single-player. And it was pretty long, too, so it was... I'm done. Got nothing else.
Fair
to say.
Enough.
The other game I want to talk about though is I finally started playing Sam and Max.
Oh, cool.
Episode 1. Fan frickin' tastic. I love it. I'm really sorry I waited until now to start playing it. I don't know what my problem is.
Well, actually the good news is like, you start playing it now and you'll be like by the time the final segment's ready, you'll be caught up to it.
You'll be all caught up.
I think I have to admit, I think a part of me was worried about being disappointed. As an old school player who played the original Sam and Max and all those other LucasArts games, I know we're going to segue into Ryan talking about LucasArts games in a moment, but you know, I really just thought, oh, it's just going to be like when Cosby came back the second time. It's just not going to be as funny. You know, it's going to be sort of like a pale imitation of itself. But actually, I thought the humor really was good.
There's another example for the nerds out there. When Frank Miller came back to not only The Dark Knight Returns,
oh, there you go,
but All-Star Batman.
He came back
as a parody of himself.
That was wretched. Holy cow. Yeah.
Dark Knight Returns was terrible.
Well,
did you read All-Star?
Did you read All-Star Batman?
No, I didn't
That and All-Star Peabody Superman worthy. Were
oh, damn.
I have to correct you because you're going to have 10,000
Yeah, what did I say wrong?
Words. Dark Knight Returns. That was the good one. Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Okay, thank you. No, I didn't mean the first one. Right.
Yeah, that would have been.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
It's not even worth dissing Strikes Again when you compare it to All-Star Batman.
Actually, yeah, I didn't finish Strikes Again. I didn't even finish reading it. I put it away.
Well, his wife, Lynn Varley, was coloring it. It was like you gave Ralphie the goddamn Crayola box, the digital Crayola
box. Right.
You can't even stay inside the lines. What the hell was that?
That's art. So I highly recommend it if you haven't checked it out. Is it only available on GameTap?
It's on GameTap first, and then they provide it later through the Telltale site.
Usually like 2 weeks after.
Okay, so if you are an adventure game fan, if you're a fan of the old LucasArts games, if you have not checked this
out. Hook me up.
Telltale.com.
I think they get better as they go along, too. So if you like
I've only played the first episode, and I thought it was hilarious. Yeah.
I think 2 and 4 are my favorites.
Abe Lincoln Must Die.
Bravo to Telltale.
That's awesome that there are already 4 of them out.
Five.
That's awesome that there are already 5
of them. They're actually episodic.
One more in the season. So.
I hope this leads them to do other
it's
games.
Good stuff.
Like
it really builds on the recurring themes, too. Like it handles it a lot like a sitcom would in terms of like repeating jokes. And it's not like bad repeating. It's like, hey, that actually built up to something after 5 episodes. Very cool.
I have really not literally laughed out loud at a game in a long, long time. And I did.
Oh, God. That was actually trying to make you laugh out loud?
It was. Right. It was. Yeah, that was trying. Right. That was actually a humor game, quote unquote. This one was trying to be funny, and it made me laugh quite a bit. So there you go. And I set yourself up there, Ryan.
And there's a quote for the box.
Speaking of LucasArts games.
Yeah, speaking of Sam and Max, I've been playing some older LucasArts games over the past probably couple weeks, but I've been playing them on my PSP.
What?
You're fired.
I'm probably a little bit late to this, but you can actually mod your PSP to play things that you aren't really necessarily supposed to. And somebody made a PSP version of the ScumVM emulator.
Are we supposed to be plugging the PSP on the Games for Windows podcast?
Well, if you're hacking
it,
maybe.
Is there some kind of like Microsoft device we can
actually
plug
this instead? Is a Microsoft ploy, because now that Ryan's mentioning on the podcast, they're going to like issue another firmware update or whatever that's going to make it so that you can't use the Scum.
Awesome.
But you will get an achievement point for listening to this podcast.
That's true. At least one.
Please buy Microsoft products. Anyway, continue, Ryan.
So somebody made this version of the simulator for the PSP, and it works surprisingly well for these LucasArts games.
So they're total direct ports of all those?
Well, it's an emulator that you run. You know, you copy your game into a folder and tell the emulator where to look, and it loads, you know, it's the original game.
And you can save your games and all that stuff?
You can save your games.
Damn. Yeah, so what games?
I played Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Uh-huh.
I played some Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis.
Uh-huh.
Classic.
On an indie kick. And I tried to play Zack McCracken, but...
Oh, I love Zack McCracken.
That's a great game.
I hate that game.
He was
Why?
Sure
hate that what? Game.
That, I was never able to get anywhere in that game.
Oh, that was my
that
first
was the one. The one.
Oh, you hate it because you're stupid.
Pretty much.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we won't have to argue then.
Okay.
When Ryan showed it to me, he put on like Day of the Tentacle. I'm like, holy crap, I so have to like convert my PSP right now.
Yeah, it's...
I will
Maniac Mansion, is that on there?
All of, yeah,
all
it can
of
play
them?
any of the old LucasArts Scum games up through, you know, Curse of Monkey Island.
Full Throttle.
Full Throttle was on there too?
I'm going to be playing that.
Yeah.
Are you actually, am I missing something? Are you actually advocating emulators? Or...
In this case,
hey, I own all the original games.
Well, it got all quiet.
I'm not doing
here.
Anything illegal.
I'm like, am I hearing this right? All right.
You know, I, the thing is, I own half these games. I can't get them to run on a PC anymore. So it's like, you know, what other option you got?
There we go.
Scum VM.
Yeah, I don't
PC
know.
PC version.
Cognitive dissonance eliminated.
No, a little bit of gray area. You're right. Thank you for calling on us. I guess we probably shouldn't be. I guess that's sort of what I was thinking, too. Like, I played and own all these games on PC. That doesn't necessarily make it right.
And
it doesn't.
I'm playing the version, you know, I copied it straight from my CD-ROM.
Oh, okay. Well, that's right. That's a whole other story then.
Yeah. Right. I wasn't thinking about downloading.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, version. Yeah.
All right. Now that we got that clear, we're
okay.
Phew. So.
Wow.
Phew. Man, dodge that bullet.
Piracy advocation averted.
Two achievement points.
Okay.
That's going to get off quick. I'll stop that.
So, do you get more to say on that topic?
Scum Adventure Games, still fun after all this time. So,
any
way you can check them out, if you haven't already, check them out.
Okay. Mr. Malloy?
World of Warcraft?
World of Warcraft. I don't know. I haven't really been playing a lot of PC games, so I'm going to be real boring. But I did go back to Gears of War co-op for some reason. I think the co-op talk last week.
Oh, got you back into the co-op.
Back into that. Going, you know what? I'm going to go back and play that. And we were playing an insane. And it's not that insane. That's it.
Just mildly crazy.
Yeah, mildly crazy.
I'm going to have to enforce some, like, we only play PC games rule here at this magazine.
I did play WoW.
You got him playing the 360 thing.
Yeah, I'm playing PC.
Freeware, buddy. Freeware.
I'm representing the truth school. I'm just not bringing it up because I've talked enough about it.
Oh, your submarine game?
Isle Sturmovik.
Oh, Isle Sturmovik.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I downloaded another PopCap game.
You did?
I was on like a...
Which one's this?
The medallion matching one. I can't remember what that one's called. Medallion Mania or something like
you
that.
Need to listen when you need to listen to my words and get... Feeding Frenzy. I was talking about Feeding Frenzy. We actually had a technical difficulty.
We did.
There.
We had a little glitch. So
it crashed.
Yeah, it crashed.
But pick up that we're not losing any momentum. We just another line.
Okay.
And Jeff, you're ready.
Oh, about Peggle. Yeah. Right, I was talking about Peggle. I'm at the point of my addiction now where it's actually the game's starting to bum me out only because I'm taking it so seriously now. Like at first,
yeah,
you're just like watching the ball go and like, whee, it's like pachinko. But, and then you start realizing you actually have some control over the ball. And then once you realize you have control, then you start wanting to control it more. So now like every shot of mine, I'm like planning it out. I'm like getting annoyed if I don't get this many pegs in one shot, if it bounces a different way than I'm thinking it will.
Are you rubbing the screen like some sad, sorry gambler, you know, like playing Mega Touch or whatever? You know, they try to like, they work some voodoo on it, trying to get the, like, get all the cherries, get three cherries or whatever. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do, sure. I do that at
some old ladies pulling that.
Have like that, just like that. Just like a mile-long ash on their cigarette, and they're just like hanging in there waiting.
Half of it's in the change drawer. So if you do win, you kind of don't want to win because you're going to get a handful of ash and a couple of nickels.
Yeah, I got my little bucket of quarters sitting down there. No, but I'm definitely going from where I was just like watching it going, this is great, to now like after every shot, I'm like, fuck!
Right, that's you what know? I'm saying. That's,
yeah, you need to move on.
You're playing the high stakes table on that.
Yeah.
You know,
move
I mean,
on
you've
to
got,
Keep Mania or something.
Right.
It's like playing like a high stakes roulette or whatever. That wheel starts spinning the wrong way, that's no laughing matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's not like unicorns and rainbows and all else. That's
I'm not seeing that shit anymore. I'm not seeing the cutesy backgrounds anymore, yeah.
You're seeing yourself a comp buffet dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we have next on our agenda? Oh, yeah. Our cover story.
Before we did that I wanted to break up Heroes of the Web this week.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And have one now and one later.
We have more than one Hero.
Such a teaser.
Awesome.
So, the first one. This might sound utterly stupid because I haven't done this. I don't have a voice for who this is, but I'm going to make one. Today, online, courtesy of Craigslist.org, okay. always a source of magic.
Always a great special material.
But mainly the casual encounters section of Craigslist.
Not safe for work, we should say,
right.
Or for minors. If you're under 18, don't go there.
Actually, best of the web, too,
I think best of the list.
Best of the list.
Like that. Yeah.
So if you don't know Craigslist, this is basically the sort of like the personals page of a giant, massive online personals, and you can post
whatever
you want.
It's also a big classifieds, right?
And classifieds.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, okay. going along with the picture of a woman with some bangs that looks like she was graduated with me in high school in 1993. Might have been on the cheerleader squad with like the hair that's like 7 inches above, you know, her skull.
Mall hair.
We have the following posting. Hello. I need 5,000 rule of gold for my epic flying mount. In return, you can mount me. You have to have an account on the Laughing Skull server, and I want 5,000 gold before we do anything. We can make the trade at your place since I can't host. Edit. Because I'm having a lot of dumb guys message me, you clearly don't have the gold. Make sure to send a picture of yourself and a screenshot of your character with the 5,000 gold. I will be checking armory profiles, thanks. I play a level 70 Night Elf Druid and would prefer someone who is into role playing. I have a costume. But honestly. Oh,
and imagine, like, if I sound like a man doing this, just imagine I have, like, more children than I have teeth. And then as I continue.
But honestly, anyone will do as long as you have the gold. I would also be okay with the woman, too, as long as you have the gold. Also, not adverse to the idea of groups / anal.
Oh.
Hold on. I'm not done. Please send a pic and be real. Drug / disease free with 5,000 gold and on the Laughing Skull server.
So. This became a legendary YTMND, which is short for You're the Man Now, Dog. If you don't know what that is, welcome to the internet. And then later on in the day, she posted again on Craigslist. And this time, her posting was called Epic Mount Success Story W4M31 Tribeca. Okay.
Hi, I'd just like to thank all the jackasses that thought it would be funny to post my picture all over the internet and make 50,000 thread forums. I got my Epic Mount in about an hour, and that was very enjoyable for both parties, while all of you idiots probably spent hundreds of don't even have them. You idiots probably spent hundreds of don't even have them. I read that right. I won't be revealing my name or his, but suffice to say, if I find any one of you in-game, I will be killing you 280% faster. Would also like to tell you punks to take a hike. Punks. I'm planning to meet him again later this week. He's getting double value. So talk all the trash you want. I got my epic flying mount, and I got laid. Which is more than most of you failures could ever hope for.
So, wait a second.
That's quite an attitude for
she's
like,
from
a
Tribeca?
Prostitute.
Yeah.
That's
like,
New York.
Hey, I got 50
that's
bucks.
Like New York City.
And I got laid.
Yep.
So, oh, well.
That's
okay.
That's heroism.
That's an awesome use of the armory, though.
It is. You're right.
I was wondering what.
And of Craigslist.
Yes. Using the tools of technology.
She used the tools of technology to get her epic mount and get laid.
Scratch
and get all
mounted,
in one
and
afternoon.
2 inches and on one post.
And get mounted epically.
So, ha ha.
Right. Wah, wah.
So, wow. Now, back
how,
to...
How many guys are going to try this now?
Back to seriously.
On Craigslist.
Oh, God. The floodgates are open.
Well, yeah. Not counting this one. I mean, yeah. Like, what are the odds that was, that was really a female?
Well... If it was a male, he still got laid, I guess. So, more power to him.
Okay. So.
Maybe we should.
Next topic.
Take a break?
Take a break here. Actually.
Okay, we're going to take a break while everyone digests that Craigslist
like
story. Sorry, Sean. You can pick it up.
Edit that out. I don't feel good about this, guys.
Just marinating all that one for a little.
I feel waja. All right, let's take a break.
We'll be right back.
Someone bring the conch. I think, is that how that word said? I don't know.
Conch shell?
Conch.
Is it conch?
It might be conch.
I think it's a conch shell.
Raging.
No one really ever says that.
I don't know. Conch salad.
You collected them in Jaws for the NES.
Conch salad. Wow, I always thought it was conch. Salad?
I think it might be conch.
I think Rachel Ray said conch.
Okay, really? Are we ready?
Also that being recorded. Yeah.
You're listening to Legendary Thread.
I do have all that recorded.
See, we're back already. Sean, you were saying?
I was saying it's time to talk a little bit about Company of Heroes, Opposing Fronts.
Yeah.
That's Woot. Not Opposing Forces.
Right, sorry.
So, yeah, all the word's out. Our issue's out now. The press release went out for the game.
Uh-huh.
So it seems like I'm going to have to refresh my memory because in magazine time, it's been quite a while since I went to Vancouver and visited Relic in their studios there and had a look at the game.
That was one issue ago for us.
I know. And
in the
that
real
was
world,
about,
like,
what, 60 days
months
my
or something,
time.
Yeah.
So
That's the sad thing. We always talk about, like, I mean, if we were online, we'd have, it would be so much easier for the people that say, you guys need something to talk about. It's like, we have plenty to talk about, but there's always, like, gag orders on everything we do have to talk about.
Pretty much, yep.
Like, any of the stuff, like, what I went and saw last week would be perfect, too, you know?
Oh, and it was so great?
Yeah, yeah. But that's got that in. So,
yep.
Company Heroes Opposing Fronts, what we know, it's a standalone game in the way that the last Dawn of War, about to say expansion, is in the way that the Dark Crusade, you know, worked, where you don't need to have the original game. Mm-hmm. And that's cool because you're able to sell a lot more people on it. And instead of, you know, fragmenting your existing player base, you're just adding to it, which is cool. And you play in it. The big hope immediately when I went there, I think I was along, you know, I have this in common with everyone else that read the press release or got our issue and saw, you know, Brits and Canadians on the screens and didn't see, you know, the Red Army. Was it like, what's going on? You know,
yeah, right. And, Canada,
and not only that,
they weren't in the war.
And not only that, and I'll have to justify this because I mean, more power to them. I love, you know, but you just looking at it from the gamer's perspective, you want variety, you want something different, and the worry is that if they do include the Tommies, that they're basically going to amount to reskinned, you know, Yanks, that they're going to take the American armies and just put new skins on them. And they're also not known for, I mean, when you're thinking of like big variety of vehicles and stuff, I mean, you've got, I don't know, British armor is not that appealing to me. The Churchills and, you know, some of their lighter tanks, the Centaur and stuff, they're not quite as exciting as, you know, some of the Soviet tanks, Katyushas and all their other, you know, wild stuff that they had. So, and then I was looking for, like, okay, well, maybe they would have, you know, Husky in Italy. Maybe they would have Torch. I mean, and maybe they'd have some different, you know, different geography and looking maps and stuff. But once again, it was like post-D-Day. Mm-hmm. So I was really skeptical. I was like, oh, no, what's the deal? And I'm being honest with this and I think I share that with a lot of people when they first saw it. But then they fire it up. And Josh, lead designer, starts showing me the stuff. And I was really like, okay, I see what's going on here. And basically, without like spoiling everything, you know, that we have in the story, the Brits play radically different, you know, in a radically different fashion than the American allies do. The whole way that like they're organized, I mean, so instead of having, you know, their HQ system's different. Every HQ they have is a mobile base that they can pick up and move. And then when you park it somewhere, it deploys. And so basically they work in a whole nother way. Instead of trying to cap as much territory and as many resources as you can and then holding it down and creeping forward, you can just choose, like, we're going to focus on these three and then we're just going to, like, tech them up so that they put out as much as the five that the other guys hold do. The way that, you know, there's an officer system where captains and lieutenants are working differently than, I mean, even in the because they have, like, the Leutnant and the Wehrmacht side already, but these guys work even, you know, in a different way. And so as I'm looking at it, it just turns out it's really cool. I'm like, this is a whole nother way to play it. And then when you start combining these guys, especially when you're playing multiplayer and you combine like along any of the regiments, because instead of, you know, Americans have companies and there's doctrines for the Axis and the original company heroes, the British here have regiments and the Panzer Elite have their, I think they're back to doctrines too.
So do you really think it's, it's going to change a lot of gameplay tactics then or gameplay strategies?
I think it will massively change because, I mean, I'm kind of like, as I'm talking, I'm like, I keep stopping because I'm thinking like, well, how much should I give away right now? You know,
yeah.
I want you kids to go and buy our goddamn magazine. but yeah, I mean, I'll pick one example. And that would be the way that the artillery works. And they have the Priest Mobile Artillery Unit. The Brits have the Priest Mobile Artillery Unit. And not only does it mean, you know, you have firepower equivalent to the American howitzers where you're able to, like, just project your force across the entire map, but you're able to, like, stay mobile while you're doing it so that they can't, you know, figure out where you're at and come kill you and take it over or whatever. But then the types of – the varieties of fire that you're able to employ with these howitzers is just insane. So one would be a walking barrage, and that's basically where you – draw out a line of fire in the same way that you would with, like, where you're going to have your P-47 go on a strafing run or something. But you're basically going to, like, walk artillery, heavy artillery fire along that line. So if you have a clear sense that, okay, if I start artillery on this point, they're going to want to retreat this way. And they're going to retreat that way because they're obstructed from any other angle. Mm-hmm. You can actually have them retreat into more artillery or something would be one example there.
wildly devastating if you get this stuff on their back base, because you can just draw a line basically across like some of their major structures and rain hell on them that way.
At that point, they're essentially boned.
I don't know. I don't think so, because they still have there's still a lot of options. There's some really cool stuff with the Panzer Elite that I'll have to talk about too. But and then another option would be to designate an area for counterbat, not an area, but just to designate counterbat barrage fire and counter battery fire. And what that means is you're basically in lockdown mode. You're not doing anything. But the moment that the Axis throws some kind of artillery or Nebelwerfers or anything like that at you, you're immediately going to work out the trajectory of that and then immediately retaliate with your own heavier artillery and more precise artillery. So that's a cool technique. And then there's the other one where you designate an area that you're going to overwatch. And so if something enters in this area, like say there's a resource, right? But you have to move away from it, and you're not going to be able to defend it that much, but you still want to keep it.
Like so, Tiberium or what?
Well, in the game, it's all, I guess I'm assuming people know about the game, but the only resources in there are fuel, ammunition, and manpower. So no Tiberium.
No kryptonite. Oh.
But so like say a fuel depot, right? You want to just cover it. It's an important area for you. Or if like maybe there's an area you're trying to get your infantry to because you want the houses and the firing positions that it affords, but you're like, hey, I'm going to be a bastard, and if I can't get to it first, I'm going to just like nuke the whole thing. So
right.
As soon as they enter that area, you're going to immediately start attacking them with your artillery, blow it all to hell. And that's just one of the regiments. I mean, there's a lot of nuance in the intelligence-based one, where you have the equivalents of the Enigma cipher, where you're able to keep track of what the enemy's doing, how they're organizing their tech tree, when they're actually creating and deploying units. You create triangulation by setting up, three of these like posts, and then just basically opening the map through the fog of war in that area for you. And then like a lot of rad decoy stuff in that too. So like if you can spoof the enemy into thinking that artillery barrages are coming down onto them, you could spoof them into thinking that a glider force is about to deploy. And for all the fun that comes out of that, depending on how, well you employ your tactics, I mean, you could tell your teammate, hey, I'm going to scare these guys right now, and I'm just going to repeatedly spoof them with fake artillery to the point where they're like, okay, this guy's just crying wolf again, and then you can launch the real shit on them and just like completely annihilate them. That stuff's really fun. And then so since I'm on it now, like in the way that the two armies like work against one another, the Axis side have the Panzer Elite. And
so you get to play as the Nazis now.
Yeah, and the Panzer Elite is about as good a euphemism as any for SS divisions, I guess. But I mean, that's a key point in the game, too, because you do play one campaign from the Axis perspective. And that would be, of course, Operation Market Garden. And they know... it's like they didn't have to have someone come in and say, like, that might be, some touchy subject matter.
Right. Yeah.
So they made sure to, in a way that satisfied them, I'm staying out of it. I don't know. I mean, if I'm offended or not. I mean, I'm so used to playing. I mean, when you play war games from every perspective multiplayer anyway, I it's not shocking to me if I'm going to be just like an average, Wehrmacht soldier in whatever kind of scenario, as long as I'm not the Gestapo or SS and stuff, But not to hero, I don't think they're heroes or anything. Mm-hmm. But because as a gamer, you're like, that's an experience that I can go for. It would be interesting to see how it works. I mean, I'm used to playing, and online, I mean, it's the same thing. Everyone that's like, no, let's join another game. I got dibs on the Axis side, They have fun armor. I mean, they've got the fun hardware and stuff from a, like the detaching. History from it,
right.
Fun.
You're not saying the Holocaust.
Yeah,
is fun.
From the toy perspective, right. They've got
there's your next soundbite.
They've got the good armor and stuff, but so what they're doing is they're picking a point in the war where they could say they're no longer in the middle of an act of aggression. And again, let's just put quotes, put parentheses around everything I'm saying. I'm trying to reproduce the point of view that Relic's point of view as I understand it. So you got a point where they are basically falling back and they're attempting to, defend the fatherland more so than abiding, Hitler's campaign orders and stuff, and worried about, their wives and girlfriends and stuff back home and their families. And so I don't think that they're even especially interested in humanizing it that much, but it is something that's interesting to see what they do with it because the game does use cutscenes and stuff. I mean, if it were just any, you know, if it were just an RTS that just said, here's a battle and let's simulate it in the same way that, like, you know, I'm playing IL-2, and a lot of times you will do a mission from the Luftwaffe position.
Right.
It just doesn't really bother to there's no characters or anything. It's like just it's just men and machines, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this game can't just say that because it does have the cutscenes, and you are supposed to say, you are supposed to identify with the people that you're fighting with and care when the next cutscene says that they've been killed or, you know, some other tragic turn of events has happened. So yeah, that's kind of make of it what you will. It's all going to be. I'm not going to, you know.
Well, I'm just trying to rack my brain here about other games that let you play from the Axis side. I'm just
Warfront, Turning Point, a lot of CDB games, actually, now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, good God, there's probably a bunch of people out there listening that are like this.
Right,
this.
Right. Yeah. Since we're podcasting and we tend to have brain freeze when things like this happen.
It's the end of the day as we're recording this.
So. I thought part of the plan, they didn't do it, though, did they? But I know at one point part of the plan for Brothers in Arms was to do a little of that.
They were talking about that at one point.
Yeah.
I think it was for the second one.
They did it for the second one,
I can see strictly from a, you know, a military strategy perspective.
The strategy and tactical
point of view. If you're that kind of player, the chance to play a different side where different tactics are being used and where maybe terrain makes a bit of difference or whatever would be interesting. Mm. But the history is tough, or it's going to be tough for some people.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And so another thing that sets that, like, in terms of the action of that part of the campaign, I mean, clearly it was a wipeout for the Allies at Market Garden. But they'll be, you know, playing as a Panzer Elite, you'll be blowing up a lot of bridges and stuff like that. Looked really cool, using some really cool armor that we talk about in the story. When I say armor, I'm just like dork talk for tanks, armored fighting vehicles. So, you know, self-propelled artillery types, personnel carriers. Which, one cool thing about the game now is that you can actually garrison troops in, you know, half tracks and stuff in the same way that you, I mean, you could always put them in someplace, but now it works in the way that garrisoning in a building would. So everyone is actually firing from it. So what they have. So if you had a crew and they had like five Panzer Shreks among them, they would all, you could do a drive-by on a tank with that bad boy and like hit them with five. You know,
so there's going to be more firepower depending on how many guys are
in. Our guys are in there, and at the same time, for the reward, there's the risk of someone getting a grenade, you know, and they're doing a 3-pointer on you and getting a grenade in there, and then everyone jumps out. It was cool. I mean, the animation's in. You see everyone just like man overboard scenario, but they don't always make it. And that stuff's cool. I mean, again, like they're really playing on the detail of the engine to communicate things through the animation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the British guys, when they actually move differently. British infantry move differently than the other armies, so they have sort of a tentative, cautious stance posture that they assume when they're in uncontrolled territory, and it means that they're slower, but it also means that they're able to get to cover quicker and return fire faster if they are ambushed or something.
The Brits ought to do like the silly walks from Monty Python. That's cool.
So you could see all that.
Yeah.
And other big things that they're relics introducing with the game. Is dynamic weather.
Yeah. Dynamic weather.
Okay, so Darren's signing me a note, giving away too much. Okay, we'll just wrap it up then. But
make me the bad guy. You suck.
The dynamic weather is cool. I mean, I think it's you're like, what's the big deal about that? But in material terms, in the way that you're going to experience the game, it does matter because if you're going to have a persistent type mission where you go and you take one bit of terrain, and then you're going to hold that overnight, and then the time's going to change, and it's going to be another time of day, and it's going to like retain all the damage that you've done to the environment, and then a counterattack's going to be launched. That's cool. And then also just gives another vibe to the maps you've been playing. I mean, they're upgrading all the old maps with the new, you know, DX10 support and the weather changes and all that. So,
do you think is going to hit the performance, though? I know, it's probably really early to say, but I worry about things like that when I hear about weather systems.
Yeah.
Like, great, I get to upgrade my processor again.
That's actually, I'm confused. I'm saying weather, and that's time of day what I'm talking about.
Time
of weather,
day.
Of course, is that it can rain, and maybe it will.
It can slow down units
and it can snow and
stuff,
and it actually does. It will turn dirt to mud, and it can slow you down, and it's so detailed that, like, if you do zoom in, I mean, you could actually hear the rain bouncing off your tank armor and stuff. And
zoom in, do you see their faces?
Dude, so inside jokes.
So I'm sorry.
People won't get that.
No.
So Yeah, I guess that's it.
Nice.
That's about all Babylon about.
Wait,
about
if it snows, does the snow? This is a serious question. Does the snow persist on the ground?
Yeah, I don't.
Because that's something developers have been trying to do for a while.
It's not doing
now.
It like. I mean, obviously, in a RTS, it's not pulling it off where every.
You're not
going to
be in a blizzard.
If it's its own polygon, and then they accumulate, and you kick them around.
Well, I wonder how many developers can do it, but just go. That would just take up so much processing time.
Yes. Right. I'm sure what they do is they swap in snow-covered assets. You know, you basically they take the same asset, the texture, and then paint repaint a snow-covered
version. Wouldn't it be great if over time on a map, if a road just got blizzarded in?
Yeah,
you know, and then you just couldn't use it anymore.
Or even let's say you go over a muddy road or a snowy road, and it leaves the tracks of the vehicle that went through it, and then over time it slowly covers it up so you don't know who was there.
I mean, there's versions of that, fighting games, you know, in Dead or Alive or something, or
Fighter or whatever.
Virtual Fighter, yeah. You're walking around in the snow and you see your footprints are kind of like, you know.
But that doesn't affect gameplay, does it? No,
I don't think so.
It's something where it actually gives you clues as to who was there or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ending on that, I will say, check out the story in the magazine, of course, because the Panzer Elite's doctrines are really cool. And again, in the same way that the bridge stuff, fundamentally different than the Americans.
Panzer Elite. To sum up, Sean says Nazis are cool.
Is definitely different than that. Oh, come on.
That's the thread we can start here on 1UP.
Now I'm waiting for you to give me shit because for the next 2 weeks I'm going to be gone because I'm going to Ireland and Munich.
Oh. You're going to Munich. Yeah, it all fits together.
Now it's all making sense. Uh-huh.
Perfect.
Yep. I see.
Next cover story, huh?
True colors come out.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad you didn't talk about the biggest feature, which is
The other thing.
Dragons.
Well, the thing that I was going to transition with is the next big topic we wanted to talk about, with what has appeared on 1UP and then also in the 1UP Yours podcast, is Games for Windows Live initiative and how it's going to work. A big part of that has been asking third-party developers what you think of it and will you use it. And while I don't have any confirmation from THQ, what they do tell me definitely sounds like they really appreciate the possibilities of live. And basically, let me just say this. I would not be surprised at all if in the future they announce Games for Windows Live support for their games. So I'm not making the announcement, I would not be surprised.
To clarify, no announcement has been made.
Right.
But those actually, you know what? It does make some degree of sense.
That's my own speculation.
Because THQ is pretty much early adopters with the whole live service. It was Relic's game on the 360, The Outfit. It was one of the first multiplayer games.
And also, I mean, Company Heroes is a Games for Windows branded game.
Right. They're one of the first to get that branding. Mm-hmm. Right. So they're obviously early adopters about that.
Yeah.
And I mean, we talked about this a little bit offline before the podcast, you know, the idea that for a game like Company of Heroes that was very critically acclaimed but maybe didn't sell so well.
Right.
This is another chance for life for that game. More publicity for it, just put it out there to a broader audience.
That game, it makes a special sense to me because see how much we have to fill listeners in, but basically some of the contention about Games for Windows Live from third parties has been the concern that if you do agree to be part of the program, you're not going to be able to offer workarounds to non-live subscribers for the voiceover IP stat tracking and ranking and stuff like that. But because Company of Heroes doesn't use voiceover IP, and its ranking and stuff, it's nothing too spectacular. It's definitely there, and their matchmaking's there. But the matchmaking's really slow, too, and unwieldy. It's not unwieldy to use, but it's slow. It's kind of a burden. I think that's the kind of game that they wouldn't really, if they signed up, they would suddenly be offering their users a good deal more of content and functionality without having anyone feel as though something had been taken away from them or that they were being forced to pay a monthly fee in order to access it. And you know, achievements, I'm a skeptic of how achievements, but for the people that like them, again, you can imagine all the things they would be able to do with Company Heroes and achievements and stuff.
Right.
Voiceover IP would be huge for it. I would like that.
Well, the Games for Windows Live, I mean, you guys have talked about this a couple times on 1UP Yours. It's been around, so we don't have to go into it.
Right.
Ad nauseum, but I mean, obviously the bigger problem is that many of the multiplayer games that are already big on the PC are not like Company of Heroes in that they do have very robust services already for free.
Exactly. Yep. And so, I mean, you get into that scenario that I just described where
as a consumer, you see, okay, I'm used to this and I'm used to that, but why am I paying for it now where I wasn't paying for it before?
Mm-hmm.
And then if the answer for some, I mean, you know, Peter Moore's answer was, you know, never underestimate the power of achievements. And some of us mm-hmm. laugh in the face of that. Others that, I mean, to be fair, like I think if you are, I think it's going to be great for expanding, maybe convincing some diehard Xbox players to start playing mm-hmm. on PC. That's fantastic. And they're going to go like, oh, this is cool. And I get to do all these things that they're that Microsoft's promising them. You know, I get to have my same gamer tag and I get to get more points here playing yep. these games I've always been interested in, but I've kind of mm-hmm. been worried about the complexity of the platform and stuff.
But now it won't be a waste of time because I get achievements for it.
Yeah, and they will think that.
I mean, gold star.
You know, people in this building, many people in this building yep. feel exactly that same
yep.
way. And you know, you see him all the time. And I was going to accuse Sean Malloy of being an achievement whore when he said he was playing Insane on Gears of War co-op.
Yeah. It's like, I talked about liking achievements on here months
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, don't be, just to be
I'm not
in line with me. I mean,
right, no.
No, actually, I never quite got it myself.
But it does make less sense to me on the PC, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not the achievements part. That when if I have Games for Windows Live on my PC,
yeah.
I will probably be a moron about the achievements there. But the mm-hmm. problem for me is the barrier of the money, like it's going to be for many people. The barrier of paying for something
and
I was getting
fair,
for free.
The what you're paying amounts to about $4 and some change a month.
Yes, it does. It doesn't add up to a whole lot.
And how? I'm going to say how much a month you pay for WoW, but of course. What you feel you're getting from that WoW subscription is going to differ from what Live is offering you at first. But
correct.
The point is, if you are an employed person or something, or you don't, you know, live with your parents or something, the money doesn't. It's more the principle than the
absolutely.
Money.
Yes, it's the principle.
I had
That's
no
all
problem
it is.
Getting Live for Xbox. It was just
no. I right. I paid for that, and I thought it was, and I still think it's a great yeah. service.
Right,
well, and you will not, as since you subscribe to Xbox Live, you won't have to pay anymore. You're already signed up for GFW Live. And well, that's the other distinction that Microsoft wanted to make, of course, is that you're getting something extra for what you already are committed
right,
to.
Right, but it's really more the principle as coming from the point of view from guys like Epic.
Yeah.
That's where the
totally.
Big problem is.
I think I'm playing Devil's Advocate the other way now because I've played for the past few
sure.
weeks. I've had to play Devil's Advocate the other way, you know,
right.
for the developers and against Microsoft. And again, you know, I don't want anyone to think that it's like, go. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, he just completely ripped Microsoft or something because there are some snippets of a larger
sure.
interviews going on. But that's not the case at all. It's just more, I think it's more informative for everyone
uh-huh.
to play, you know, play it against them.
It does,
you're talking
but
about
the whole thing shows
the
like what a huge uphill PR battle they have with this thing. Everyone's gut reaction is,
oh,
what
course.
The hell?
Of course.
Why would I do this? This sounds stupid.
Right.
You know?
I mean, like we've already said, I mean, like, I totally agree with Sean on that. Like, this is it's a no-brainer for anyone who's, like, a console gamer first and maybe a PC gamer in second, if that. Like, they might want to mm-hmm. dip their foot in the water, but mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Like,
right. If you've been a longtime PC gamer, this seems not necessary and obtrusive.
Right.
Well,
it makes you fear. I mean, because we've all been trained to fear the Microsoft Borg. That it makes you fear that here's yet another Borg-like action.
I'm just trying to remember.
To take and co-opt the space that doesn't necessarily belong.
Right, like first they take over a magazine.
No, but I was just remembering when Live first came out, you know, with the original Xbox, it was really just a basic service. I mean, it was strictly matchmaking and not much more than that.
Right.
And as time went on, the 360, they started rolling in these, you know, more services and more options. And maybe that's what they're kind of going for. Maybe they're saying... This, I mean, like, at least the times I've talked with those guys, it's been like, okay, this is just the first step mm-hmm. getting towards a bigger picture plan for what they want to do.
They do.
But the thing is, they need to get to that bigger – they need to get that step sooner if they want to entice more PC gamers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That after you were just explaining the, you know, Company of Heroes philosophy of, like, okay, here's a game that doesn't have
uh-huh.
a voiceover IP, I'm thinking maybe – all it might take is a couple big games that don't have that
yeah.
to get on board, and then suddenly...
But you know what? What if you use Ventrilo? I mean, like, or any other free TeamSpeak, you know, whatever out there already.
Well, there's that built-in, like, coordination
against randoms. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to coordinate. You have to say, like,
yeah.
hey,
mm-hmm.
here's
true.
My server. Here's this. With, like, if there's two games, say, that you play all the time, Company of Heroes and some other game that doesn't mm-hmm. normally have built-in VoIP or whatever, suddenly maybe that $4 a month or whatever is
mm-hmm.
totally worth it to you.
Right.
So maybe... Like, for a while, we've all been saying, oh, it needs every developer on board, or else it's going to tank.
It just needs a couple key ones.
So maybe it's just a couple of these ones that aren't necessarily the huge ones that offer this stuff already. It might be the ones that don't.
The best-case scenario, no initiative of this scale is, like, you know, flawlessly and fully functional right off the bat.
Right.
So it's going to take time in the same way that every kind of big thing takes time. Mm-hmm. The converse of that and the fear is that it will be, like, a flop in general, and it doesn't matter. No time at all is going to save it. But on the positive side, you give it time, like everything. You know, Darren was saying Xbox Live didn't amount to much right off the bat, and then you get the snowball effect where you have THQ join, and that's no small potatoes. I mean, if THQ, I mean, we've repeatedly kind of gave them props for being uniquely committed to the PC platform and offering AAA PC only games where other companies are entirely multi-platform. I mean, it would be huge. I mean, say for example, if Stalker, Supreme Commander, Titan Quest, and Company Heroes had all been Games for Windows Live game, that alone right there should be, you know, compel other people to say, hey, let's check this out too.
I will go ahead and say right now that if they put Titan Quest on Games for Windows Live, and have achievements, I admit I'll play it again to get the achievements from that game.
Okay.
I will, because I love that game, and if they give me another excuse to play it, which is what that would be. Yeah. Okay, well, I've beat it twice this way, but now I can try all these other things they want me to try.
Right.
You know what game they need on there?
No.
World of Warcraft.
Yeah, over all our dead bodies. Yeah.
Achievement in World of Warcraft.
But that's the exact example of a game that will probably never be on it, don't you think?
Yeah.
Why would Blizzard ever need to do
that's
this?
That's the number one. I could never, ever imagine Blizzard on, and these are words that we could all eat, but of course.
Yeah, sure.
And Valve, I mean, good God. Can you imagine after Steam and everything? Steam.
Right.
That they're like, you know what, yeah. It was kind of, we were just dicking around all these years, like, let's
right.
do this.
Those are two big companies that you would think would just look at that initiative and go, yeah.
Right.
Like, we're going to do that, like, because they don't need Microsoft.
But maybe
help.
That's as long as Games for Windows Live gets enough big stuff, that's fine. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing prospect. Mm-hmm. And I think we're used to looking at it that way because that's all it is on Xbox. You know, it's like, you really have no choice. So
actually,
you get it. But you could have, you know, I mean, what if there was a service? Like, we all play, you know, what if, I don't know, it'd be like if Steam suddenly started charging. And it was something really small, like what if it was like $1 a month or something, you know? I think a lot of people would be like, okay, we've all been trained to appreciate what Steam has to offer us, you know, and all the important games we play on it, like no big deal. And then you would also still be playing like, you know, Unreal and everything else too. I mean, I think there's just room for heterogeneity on this platform.
How about all the PopCap games on Games for Windows Live?
That would be
Peggle,
fun.
Peggle, dude. Peggle achievements.
And when I did Garth at PopCap, when I did talk to them about you know, Games for Windows Live, seemed really enthusiastic about it. And in the same way, I mean, achievements for those games, distribution, being able to play them easily online with people.
Well, not even that. Like, all their games are available on all these different platforms, PC, console, cell phones.
Yeah.
So if you follow that whole Live Anywhere initiative, being able to, like, pay once for Peggle and then being able to play it on any system, on anything you got.
Right.
Right. And that goes back to the initial vision that Bill Gates shared at E3 back then when it all seemed like a great idea, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, now that we're seeing some of it, not in execution, but now that details are dribbling out, all sorts of skepticism is coming in. But when Bill Gates had that big presentation where he was showing exactly what you're describing, Darren, where a game is existing on a cell phone and your computer and your laptop and your Xbox, then suddenly it does seem pretty cool.
It's something else. I also asked JJ and Peter in the interview just about cross-platform play beyond Shadowrun, which is just, you know, basically play the same game and play it with just different interface or the same interface if you want, but just different platforms. But beyond that, into the realm where you get like, I mean, you remember back when the rumors about what the next Halo would look like, and some people were like, you know, there's going to be PC people playing from RTS perspective and the console
don't
people
don't even get me started, dude.
So, but I mean, those sorts of things could, I don't know.
That seems like it requires like it to be a success first, and then people to latch on to that aspect.
Or do something like that and make it a success. And that's where the skepticism was, because it's like Ensemble, okay, they're making a console game now. The implications are that, yeah, it's going to be PC too, but without anyone really saying. And, I mean, that's in the interview, you know?
Yeah,
you can read between the lines and guess at it. But, like, I mean, that stuff's not reassuring. It's like FAST is being closed, as far as we know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't understand. The answer I got wasn't clear, but everything else I hear online and from FAST's
own
website,
shut down.
Yeah, is that they're being shut down. And then so those sorts of things, you're like, okay, well, those aren't the big killer. You know, where's the killer app going to come from that pulls everyone to it? Because, again, when they truck out Halo 2, Shadowrun, and Uno, we're just like, it is easy to say it.
You know what game would be like, cool? Frontline's Fuel of War. If they put that in for live support,
that would be another really cool one. Yeah, and that's.
But you know what? But just, you know, just going back to what you're talking about for a second with this cross-platform playing and stuff with two different types of gameplay styles. Mm-hmm. It happens right now. I mean, there's a game called Savage: Battle for New Earth. It's free right now, and the sequel's being worked on. And you have a game where basically one person's the RTS commander, mm-hmm. dictating what's going on, and other people are playing from a first-person perspective.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that happens right now on a PC. They figured that out.
In the mod, the source mod Iron Grip, it didn't turn out too well, but it's basically the same thing where one player is.
But I mean, like, it was such a no-brainer thing. What, you know, making Halo Wars on the PC and they command people in Halo 3 multiplayer or some kind of thing like that. How mm-hmm. tough would that have been to figure out? I mean, obviously.
I'm sure it'd be tough, and it would take a whole lot of money and time.
I did it last weekend.
But I think as hard as it is.
I drew it on a piece of graph paper. It would be fun.
But the thing is if you did do it, you'd make a big statement about how sort of committed to the project you
That's
are, to the
I'm
project
saying.
Success you are.
Yeah.
You'd say, we put all this stuff in here. You know, we didn't just do some quick game that happens to work fine in either direction.
And it really would just take one really cool thing.
Exactly. One really cool application to show off what you can do with the technology. Like, I was sitting there talking.
Well, that's why it's like, what if they announce like Crisis or something between now and then?
Please do. I mean, I wish they would.
And then we'll flip and be like, God damn it, I don't want to pay $4 a buck. I got to get out of here. That was bad. I'll never move this one down. I got to get out of here.
Oh man. Oh.
But yeah, $4 a buck for that. So, yeah. So there's plenty more to say about it, but the crux is that there's not much time to say much about it.
Right. Minutes to say stuff about it.
And we still have a Heroes of the Web, don't we?
God. I couldn't even read this to you in my normal voice before the podcast.
Just look into something else.
Gibberish. So, okay, real quick. This is going to be horrible because this is nearly impossible to read like in any state of mind with any voice. It comes from our very own anime boards, which can be found on the 1UP forums.
Oh, boy.
And a thread about everyone's favorite Naruto. So Echo Palm says,
well, what am I thinking? If Naruto can make 1999 clones, then he could make 500 that could train with Kurenai for genjutsus, 500 to train with Yamato for water and earth-based jutsus, 500 to train with Guy and Rock Lee for taijutsu and how to defeat Sharingan. Whatever's left could train to be more efficient with wind elements, jutsus, as well as their newer wind element jutsus. Then, like 2 weeks, we could definitely be more powerful with the fourth Hokage, because that would be like 14 days with times 500 Narutos. And that's like 19 years of training with Jinjutsu, Taijutsu, wind element, trying to beat Sharingan, earth jutsus, and water jutsus. Holy crap, teach me Kanabushin. I need to study for a bunch of certifications and exams. He would definitely be exhausted, and Yamato would have to be on his toes to stop the Nine Tails, but that would be freaking awesome. I think I'm going to eat Taco Bell for dinner.
Okay, so Sushi Boy.
What is this about?
So it's about Naruto. I don't know.
Spreadsheet.
Can someone explain
fucking
that to
lunatics?
Us?
Lunatics, that's what? Okay, so Sushi Boy says, yeah, I had a Crunchwrap Supreme last night. Good eats. Has anyone had the steak taquitos yet? So Echo Palm says, actually, this is the longest game thread I have ever been in or seen. And then Master Grunt 44 says, we are awesome. And it's like because it's like a 200 page thread,
but 200 page,
yeah, 200 pages. So he's right when
so this isn't the starter one.
When he says this is the longest non game thread he's ever been in or seen, I think it's the longest non game thread I've ever been in or seen. And but just the fact that like Master Grunt breaks it down so eloquently, we are awesome.
We are awesome.
I think his math might be a little off. I don't know.
That's like a Zen master of observation.
But that's a freaking trap for whoever's. I don't know. It sounds like a syphilis afflicted brain that right net. I don't know. Well,
not to pass judgment.
How can there not be holes in it?
You know, I want to run it through Babelfish and see what the hell comes out. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it just looks like you could just type random words there and be contributing to that thread.
I think you can. Go in and try it.
I think I'll try it.
Oh, Jeff Green, it's wonderful to know that you're a Naruto fan, too. I never knew someone who knew so much about the series as you.
I love chalupas.
Go in there and say that. Infinite monkeys.
Yeah, use like a Taco Bell like comment for all your punctuation.
Speaking of Barnes.
Okay.
What?
Dude, you're still
on. Sorry, I'm still on it.
You're still on the inside. Every inside joke that just dropped. I don't even know any of these. This come from one source.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Their other hot news story is the pilfered files.
I haven't heard any official comments yet. So, okay, so a little bit of news broke over the weekend. Bless you.
Yeah.
punctuating the statement. So apparently, some industrious people online were seeing that Stalker shares some similar assets with both Doom 3 and with Half-Life 2. So they checked out apparently some of the files looked similar but also had the same names.
They modified the extensions, like they'd add something.
Exactly.
To it.
So there's no comment from THQ right now, and actually I also know one of the guys over at GSC internally, so I actually emailed him directly. And actually, they have off for a long Easter weekend, so we haven't heard. So
we don't know anything.
So we have no idea what's going on just yet.
But yeah, comparing the maps. It was like some water maps and like light.
Right, water and light maps.
Exactly. So I mean, it just seems so like in this day and age, like to think you can get away with that kind of thing. I can't imagine that being for real. Maybe they took it as a reference at one point.
It could be. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how clean their cleanup process is. Maybe they were just using them internally just to play around with.
I mean, if it's actually in the source files, I mean, that's
well, this will have to be a to be continued
story. It's definitely a to be continued story because I'm basically just waiting to hear back from these guys now.
Mm-hmm. I borrow lots of assets from my writing, usually from GameSpot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll read their reviews. I'll go, hey, that sounds like about what I was going to say. So I'll just, do the old control C, control V into my articles. Is that not? I'm not supposed to do that.
Change a couple words.
Our stories, I like putting on like hands-on scoops and stickers and things. Yeah. And
makes making those deadlines easier.
I wonder though.
Some word
it
the
could
controls
be.
Are great. Great are the controls.
Exactly. You do a little switch a few words
no
around.
No one notices.
Uh-huh. See, it might be like, you know what? It's fine. We used to turn Metallica songs into MIDI files. So for Doom. So
that's a really good point.
Yeah, they might not care. Yeah. You never know.
Okay, well, we will we will need to revisit that story because it's kind of big.
Yeah, it's definitely unique. I think it's why it's proliferating so rapidly on the internet land.
Dirty bastards!
So look at the music bigs. The last original song was written by Louis Armstrong in 1927. Up and downhill from there.
I thought it was all
grumpy
from,
old Green coming in, checking in,
keep them separated. See what I did there? I brought it full circle, and we out.
How about now?
We out.
This has been a presentation of the 1UP Radio Network. For more shows, visit podcast.1up.com.